Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Nobody would go back home the same way they came. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be reading from your Bibles this morning. Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1. There was a neighbor. Did you bring your Bible to church? Verse 1 says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I would now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou stand is holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them into the land, unto a good land, a land unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Evites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I am also seeing the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I would send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto the Lord, who am I? Moses said, who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee where thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. He shall serve God upon this mountain. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Verse 1 says that Moses was at the backside of the wilderness. It's a bad thing for us or for anyone to be in the wilderness in the first place. How much more the backside? You know, being in the wilderness is a dry place. Being in the wilderness is a terrible place. But being at the backside of the wilderness is a place that was worse than worst. And here was Moses, a man that God had called, a man that knew from birth that he was an anointed prophet. Moses was not confused as to what his calling or his assignment was. He knew he was a deliverer. He knew God had anointed him. He knew God had called him. Moses was sure about his destiny. The Bible says it was clear to him that from his young age he was supposed to be a deliverer of Israel. But here was Moses, having attempted to deliver Israel once. Now, 40 years after, Moses was at the backside of the wilderness. I don't know if there's someone here who's understanding my voice. You are very far from what God promised you. You look at your life, you are gifted, you have skills, you can do this, you can do that, you can do so much. But there is nothing in your life that exemplifies or illustrates or displays the gift of God on your life. You are at the backside of the desert. You know you can do it. You look around and people that are doing it are not even as competent as you are. They are not even as careful, as good at it as you are. But there is nothing in your life. This morning, you are sitting on the sound of my voice. There is nothing in your life that is close to your anointing. You are called. But it looks more like you are cursed. Moses was there. He was there at the backside of the desert. But the good thing about the desert is that there's a mountain of God even in the desert. God is the God of the hill, the God of the mountain, is the God of the valley, is the God of the seas, is the God of the ocean. But God is also the God of the wilderness. And so Moses, even though he was in his wilderness, he encountered God in the midst of the wilderness. The Bible says, God called unto him right from the bush and says, I'm going to send you out to Egypt to bring out my people. And Moses asks the question that you and I would always ask. Who am I? I was a neighbor. Who you be? Tap your other neighbor. My other neighbor. Do you know who I am? Moses screamed, Lord, who am I? Who am I? I don't feel good enough. I don't feel skilled enough. I don't feel competent enough. I don't feel anointed enough. There's nothing in me that makes me even feel competent or qualified. Moses asks the question that everybody would ask. And God comes to you. It's you. You is you. I'm talking about. It's like, me. Me can't be me. But Moses was you 40 years ago. Yeah, he said, that was 40 years ago. I was stronger. 40 years ago, I had the passion. But can you spare me all those destiny things? I'm out of time. Can you spare me all those assignments in anything I see now, marry? Not even anybody. Anything. I'm way past menopause. I'm way past marriage. I'm ready to settle for anything. Moses said, who am I that I will? This was the same Moses that was so anointed, that was so excited, that was so passionate about getting things done. This same Moses was at the point of his life right now. Doesn't see anything in him. There's somebody who is under the sound of my voice this morning. Who's a Moses? And if it's a lady, it's a Moses Lena. Say, Lord, who am I? Remember all the prophecies you had on campus? He said, remember, Pastor, don't even come. I'm way too old now. I've done too many terrible things. I don't think God will come to me. But God knew where Moses was. He came to where Moses was. He came to the wilderness where Moses was. God always comes for men. Always comes for men. Men, and when I mean men, I mean sexes, both men and women, are God's method. Man is God's strategy. If God wants to do anything on the earth, he for someone to do it. God is always looking for man. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says the eyes of God is going to and fro, seeking upon whom or by whom he would show himself strong. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. The eyes of God is going to and fro. He's going everywhere, looking for who and upon whom and on whose behalf to show himself strong. Man is God's system. When God sees a need, he sends a man. So God said, came down. He said, Moses, I've seen your oppression. Moses, I've seen your pain. Moses, I've seen their sorrow. He said, I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. And I've come down and I'm sending you. Yes, stop that. If you saw their pain, if you heard their cry, if you know their sorrows, if I've already come down, I think you should go yourself. And I sit down here, watch you do it. You are the one that saw their pain. You are God and Moses. But God is always looking for men. Ordinary men. Men like you. Men like me. God will not do anything until he has found a man to do it. Number one, Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. Who has NLT? Genesis 2 verse 5. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. God will not do anything. God will not do anything. God will not do anything until he has found a man. Verse 5 says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So God has not seen a man to till the ground. God had not found a man. So God withhold rain because he had not found a man. God will not send the rain of revival on that city, rain of revival on that church. God will not send the rain of finance in that family until he finds a man. He must say, Lord, find me. Yeah. In your family, God will not do what he wants to do until he has found a man. God will not do what he wants to do in your school until he has found a man to do with him. God will not do what he wants to do on your campus, in your class, in your home, at your office. God will not do anything. God is limited to the availability of men. God has not lost his power. There is no scarcity of power in heaven. There is scarcity of men on earth. Man is God's technology. God does not anoint keyboard. He anoints the keyboardist. God only puts his hands. Man, I was planning for a meeting on campus many years ago. And I went to my wife's, then she was my fiancé, hostel. And we're talking. And I dozed off. And I dozed off in her room. And I saw a vision. As was though God was calling me. And because I was planning for that meeting on campus, supposed to be a healing meeting, the Lord said to me, I remember vividly. Because I woke up with tears in my eyes. I said, Philip, I said, yes, Lord. He said, make it possible for me to walk in this campus again. I said, Lord, what did you say? He said, you're not even right. Make it possible for me to walk on this campus again. So I woke up and I started crying. Then he asked me, why are you crying? I said, God just spoke to me. What did he say? He said to me, make it possible for me to walk on this campus again. My wife says, so why are you crying? I said, because that means I'm not going to be able to sleep as long as I want to sleep anymore. That means I'm not going to eat as much as I want to eat anymore. That means I'm not going to be able to watch TV as much as I want to watch TV anymore. I said, God has seen me. God has chosen. Every choice comes responsibility. Every empowerment comes responsibility. God will not do anything until he has found a man to do it through. Number two, God will not do anything until he has found a man to tell it to. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Amos, so much open for me. I want to show you guys that follow me. Amos 3 verse 7. Who has it? Amos 3 verse 7. God will do nothing until he has found someone he can tell it to first. God always speaks before he acts. Amos 3 verse 7. Who has it? Did the sovereign Lord, give me King James. That's not King James. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. But he reveals his secret to his servant. God will do nothing. If God wants to do something in your family, before he does it, he must say it. And until he has found someone within your family to first tell, he can't do it. So man is God's strategy. You may say, but Pastor, I'm young. I'm the least in my father's house. So was David. You can say, Pastor, but I'm not rich. I'm the poorest in our family, but so was Jephthah. So was Gideon. So was every other person that God is. God particularly likes men that have limitations. Because in their limitations, he is glorified. In our weaknesses, his strength is what? His made power. In our own weaknesses, God finds a man, God finds a woman. God's looking around for people, and he will not do anything until he has told them, or he's doing it through them. And when God sees a need, when God sees a need, what he does is to send a man. When God sees a need, what God does is to send a man. When God sees a need anywhere, what he's thinking about is that, where is that man that I can send? When God saw a need on the earth, the man needed salvation. God needed to send a man. But because there was no man that was God enough to save man, God became man to save man. God sent himself, the flesh of a man. When God sees a need, he sends a man. When God sees anything, and he wants to, like he's talking to Moses, Moses, there are many Moseses in this church. Pastor, it can't be me, it's you. God has found you. He said, I've seen, I've heard their cry, and I've come down. Now, God will not send a man without first equipping him with an encounter. An encounter with God is a meeting with God. Follow me. Every believer
ought to have an encounter with God. Without an encounter with God, all your walk with God will be mere religion. The reason why you keep getting depressed and getting depressed and getting depressed is because you don't even know the God that you serve. Every believer ought to have known, to have felt a touch, ought to have met their God. Every believer ought to have an encounter with God. At whatever level, you must have an encounter with God. If you don't have an encounter with God, your entire Christian walk will be a boring routine. An encounter with God is what puts life into everything you are doing. It is because you have met God, or you have seen Him, or felt His touch on your life at whatever level. That's what gives energy and life. There is no way you would serve a God that you do not know and you not get tired. Encounter with God is critical. Critical for every believer. Every believer. So pastor, but all of us are not pastors. Every believer ought to have an encounter with God. In John chapter 1 verse 10, John had an encounter with God. He said, I saw Him. John chapter 1. What's John chapter 1? He said, I saw him and I fell at His feet like a dead man. What's John chapter 1 verse 10? He says that to me, he said, arise, come, eat, and I'll show you. So I was a spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord said to me, arise. And I saw Him. And John describes Jesus in a way that these pictures we see up and down doesn't describe Him. You know that picture you see up and down? What do you see Jesus like? Eh? Carry lamp. Carry butter. If you see Jesus, Jesus is not wearing saliva. John said, I saw Him. He said His hair was white. His head was white. He said His legs were like brazen in furnace. Fire. He said His eyes were like fire. He said, I saw Him and I fell before Him as dead. I fell before Him. It's impossible to meet with God and sit down and your body's no more possible. Paul met Him on His road to Damascus. Powerful Paul, riding his horse. Boom. Met the King of Kings. Fell on His face. Everybody that meets with God falls on their face. They met with God. Nothing happened. Can you meet with God and nothing happened? And that's why when we get to heaven, we must have glorified bodies. When we get to heaven, because this body cannot stand. If you see God the way you are, you fall. Our bodies cannot stand it. Angels will have to be carrying us up and down in heaven. Because every time we see, we just fall again. Bah. Hey, bah. They carry. So you must, this mortality must give way for immortality. This corruption must give way. Corruption, non-corruption. When we get to heaven, Paul saw Him, fell. I've seen people say they went to heaven. But they saw an angel. They say, I saw an angel. I was taking popcorn. And an angel came and said, oh, that's angel Gabriel. Please sit down. Have you ever said this like that before? Lie. If you see an angel, if an angel appears to you now, I bet you, they don't burn you well. Go and check the scriptures. Everyone an angel appeared to, what's the first thing he says? Fear not. Because those guys are fearing. They say they are your ministry spirits. And you can send them up and down. And this is why you can send them up and down, is because you cannot see them. If you see them, I bet you, they don't burn you well. You will not send them anything. Thank God you don't see them. If you have an encounter with God, your life will change. You fall on your face. Your entire life will change. I've seen an angel. I saw an angel once. And I pray, Lord, let me not see them again. I was in the fast on Redeem Camp. Fasted for 2-3 days. And I was tired. I laid on the bench. And I had the Lord speak to me. Son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, get up and join in with the prayers. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I can't join in. Again, the voice came. Philip, I said, yes, Lord. He said, get up. Join the prayers. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I can't join in. I've not eaten for like 3 days. And in a flash, I saw two angels. They appeared. Two of them. They were tall. Their heads were in the sky. When they came to me, they stretched their hands. I stretched. I did not send them anything. They picked my hands. I followed them. They held my hands. I was king. And they took me to the prayer and walked away. I did not say I'm tired. I did not complain. I obeyed. When you have an encounter with God, your entire life will change. Every believer ought to have an encounter with God. The reason why your Christian work is boring, this is why your Christian work has become a routine, a chore, like an house chore that you hate to do. An house chore that you don't want to do because you have not even met the God that you claim to serve. You have not met him. It becomes boring. It becomes boring. Moses met him at the burning bush. Met him and his life changed. Isaiah chapter 6 says, come. Isaiah was talking. He said, come. Who is me? Isaiah was a prophet. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. If you read the book of Isaiah, you see Isaiah. He was a war prophet. Isaiah said, woe to the Assyrians. Woe to the Babylonians. Woe to the Jebusites. Woe, woe, woe. If you see Isaiah, he said, well, I said, woe is you. Woe, you that are looking at me, woe to you. Isaiah was that guy that thought he was better than every other person. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. His strength filled the temple. I said, woe is me. He saw and he knew that there was nothing comparable to what he had. Oh God, see God, you will change. Job was complaining. Complained about God. Holy, I'm righteous. Why am I not married? I'm a virgin. Why do I have a child? Job complained. But in the latter chapter, God appeared to Job. Said, Job, he said, I shivered. He said, Lord, I've heard you by the hearing of the ear. Now I see you. Because he sat up like a man, Job. Sat up. Said, did you know when I built the earth? Did you see the sound of the thunder? Can you make the earth quake, Job? You see, I kept my mouth shut for the Lord God. Nothing. You have an encounter with God, your entire life will change. Why? An encounter with God will let God do to you what he wants to do to you. In an encounter, he will do to you. He will be able to do to you. Because God cannot do through you what he has not done first. He'll be able to do with you what he has done within you. So when Moses met with him at the burning bush, met his wing, the fire stirred up a fire in the heart of Moses. The fire had burnt out in the heart of Moses, but Moses met with God. And you know that that burning bush did not burn forever. You know that? How many believe me that the burning bush did not burn forever? If you go to Mount Horeb now, the bush is not burning. Because the pastor said, the Lord wants to appear to me. So you get to your house. You saw your library on fire. You say, wow. God is here. Please call the fire people. That's not what I'm talking about. You get anywhere, you see anywhere burning in your house. Your TV aflame. You say, wow. The TV was aflame. And yet the TV is not burnt. The TV is burning. Call the fire. But that's not what I'm talking about. God wants to ignite a fire in your heart. And so that burning bush does not last forever. Are you following my point? That burning bush was a temporary. Every encounter with God is a temporary one. But every encounter with God has the capacity to stir up an impact in your life that will last forever. So even though the burning bush did not burn forever, that burning bush ignited a fire in the heart of Moses that burned for the rest of his life. Are you following my point? When Moses met with God on the road to Damascus, Paul, on the road to Damascus, the light shone on him. That light that shone on him did not shine forever. The light at a point went out. But that light started a light in the heart of Paul that burnt for the rest of the life. God's encounter may be short, but when it comes on you, it starts a fire. That fire would burn for the rest of your life. A lady came to meet me at my former church. I'd done a concert on campus, and I've shared that story with a number of you. Concert on campus. I believe that's one of the strongest flow of the Spirit of God I've ever seen. I was praying for that concert. I was UJCM choir coordinator. Don't say choir coordinator. Say again, say choir coordinator. UJCM choir coordinator. And I was leading my choir, and I told them, we're going to have a concert. Then in that concert, the power of God is going to move. The power of God is going to fill the place. I started making them to pray. We began to pray. I would make the choir pray in tongues for 3 hours. Was a choir. Yeah, choir. Yeah, we in choir, we're in prayer ministry. Yeah. Ekot, ra, ilekede, mando, shkatapada. I made them pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, because the first work of a worker in the house of God is the work of prayer. The first work of an usher is to pray. The first work of a choir is to pray. The first work of the media person is to pray. It is when prayer has been set in place that the enemy is set ablaze. I began to teach them to pray, and I began to steer their hunger. There's a concert coming. That concert, the power of God will fill the place. If anybody comes to that place and doesn't get touched, come and do my news like this. I said, you're going to see God. I was promising them. Did God tell me that physically? Did he say to me, son, I will show up? Did he say that? He didn't say that. But he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered. I read it there. I read it in the book of 2 Chronicles. That the priests were singing in one voice. The power of God came in and they couldn't minister. I started telling them, this concert is going to be very powerful. It's going to be very powerful. It's going to be very powerful. On the day of the concert, about 3,000 people were in the concert. The first thing that went out was the generator. Generator went out. It started, didn't start. The choir was singing, just be singing. We're in the wait time. Be singing. They walked on the gym. 1 hour went. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Nothing happened. I dragged my friend. His name is Femi. He's a lawyer in the city. That's what I said before. I dragged him out of the building. I said, Femi, let's pray. I pray. I said, I was not praying. I pushed him away. I said, Lord, you showed me that you're going to come up. He says, I'm going to come. Philip, I'm coming. He said, I saved the best for the last. I said, Lord, save the best for the beginning. The beginning people are beginning to go. It soon remain only me and you here. Because actually people began to walk out of the place. There was no light. At about 3 a.m. in the morning, they said, Pastor, we have to round up the service. Nothing's going to happen. The DJs are going to come up. Just do what you can do. So we're going to give you a chance to sing just one song. And then they can close the meeting. Don't say one song. One song is too much for God to move. One song. Climb on the stage. Proud me in the midst of the darkness. I said, friends, listen to me. When the clouds are full, they empty themselves on the earth. I said, the choir is going to sing now, and the power of God will fill this place. I walked out of the stage and dropped the mic. The first person who came up held the mic. My hands were shaking. Struggled to finish the song. And there was a part of the song that somebody else has to come in. So, gave the mic to the other person. That one fell down flat. And the thunderbolt went. One by one. Boom, 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 boom. About 300 choristers were falling like a pack of cards on the stage. There still was no light. Because God is the light of the world. You see, he had to shut down everything to show himself. In the midst of darkness, light is glorified. I said, Lord, you are here. You're here. He said, yes, boy. I tell you I was coming. So some very spiritual sisters came. I said, Pastor Philip, please, some people are following that anointing. Can we go and carry them? I said, you can go. So they rushed. And they got to the edge of the stage. Brrr, bah, everybody on the ground. I said, me that you saw me sitting down here. You think I did not see them that they are falling under the anointing? I saw my choir dragging themselves from off the stage. I didn't go near them. Some day we are stiff as stone. I'll never forget that day because my friend, his name is Gift, he's a doctor, he's in the US now. He was playing the guitar. And we saw that his eyes were closed and was strumming the guitar as though he was going to break the strings. I called my friend who was a bassist. I said, get that guitar from him, he's going to break it. They removed the guitar from him and Gift was like this. It was off. So my keyboardists with their fingers teeth. That night was a night I will never forget. I saw the power of God raw. We could not finish the meeting. Ushers, for over 1 hour, ushers were carrying people to their houses. Nobody could walk. It was still dark. There still was no light. So because there was no light, we didn't see that a lot of people were already falling down there. They're not in the meeting. We shut down the building. It was around 10 a.m. in the morning. They started banging the gate. We are here. People were slain in the spirit for 12 hours. My friend Bola danced for 3 days. That was an encounter. Some people could not speak in English. They spoke in tongues all through the day. They could not say anything in English. That night, the cloud of God was besieging the entire of our campus. From that encounter, came soldiers of God. People that today are in ministry. They all say, Pastor Philip, I remember that night when God came. God came. That meeting did not last forever, but that meeting started a fire in their hearts that's born till now. An encounter is critical for every believer. I, my life didn't mean anything. As I stood there, I was shivering. My younger brother came. He had to come and give me moral support. There were some 4 guys beside him. In his own story, as he saw us, people were falling under the anointing and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. The 4 guys beside him started making jests. I said, look at them, they started. That's what they used to do. After now, they said they're under the power. And as they were saying that, he said, an unseen hand came and picked the 4 of them and flung them in separate ways. He said, he quickly knelt and said, Lord, I'm on your side. I'm not part of them. I'm here worshiping you. I don't know them for anybody. I don't know them from Adam. We met here. Someone brought a girlfriend, his boyfriend. Boyfriend doesn't believe in praying in tongues. So people started praying in tongues. Started laughing at him. They have said it. People have said it. That's what you did. Pray in tongues. Egataka. Entoko. Membradia. Ikedede. Edede. The Lord baptized him. They come, you come taste of it. That's how he does them. An encounter. Critical. For every believer. Who have felt God touch them. I've seen God. I've felt his presence. How can you say God touched you and you did not know? How can you say you felt God? God came into your room. It's like you're putting your hands in an electrical socket and you didn't feel anything. Possible. If you put your hands in an electrical socket, you know, you guys, I don't know how you grew up, but I was very curious. Something's always telling you, why not put your fingers into the hole? What is inside? And every time your mom will see you, hey, stop that! Move back! I see my daughter, my last daughter, always going towards the light. Always going, trying to put her finger. And that was how I was. Say, stop it! Don't put your finger! I said, what if I put my finger? Say, you die! Did you die? He said, I died! Don't put your finger there! But you will not listen. You just want to test it. So say, I want to test it for myself. Ah, you want to test it. That's why you need to test the presence of God for yourself. Your finger. You shout, yeah! That sound is very, very, it's very similar. It's one sound. Yeah! I know somebody has put their fingers. I know. When I hear the sound, I know. So I put my fingers. Then my brother was like, don't put your fingers there! You're going to die! But you always will not listen. You want to put your fingers there. You want to test it for yourself. That's how the power of God is. So I say, God came, I didn't. How would you? We had a meeting last 2 years. We called it Wind of the Spirit. That's Tofumi. Tofumi came for the meeting. She came as an invited guest. I was an invited guest. But God has no respect for invited guests. She was there. And I said, before the meeting, people are here who are part of our work team. That the power of God is going to come down. This power of God. And again, went out. Watch out when the gen goes out. Watch out when the screen doesn't work. Watch out. When things are not working and things in the natural are shutting down, watch out. It's a way for God. It's a channel for God to himself. Watch out. Tofumi came as a invited guest. T worship was also there that night. Worship, boom. As an invited guest. They carry Tofumi. To the car. When you get home, you wash her. So what happened? Yeah, I brought her from home. What happened? We're coming from concert. Literally, I mean, people were drunk. And she wasn't a member of SLC. But that experience sparked a fire in her heart. Says, I've seen the truth. I was a part of. And today, if she tells you the story, God says, that night, I'll never forget that night. When God comes with you, you will know it. When you meet with God, it's an experience. It's an experience. The possibility, these are not, these are just, yes, it's an experience. Meeting with God is an experience. Everything in this world is an experience. Being born is an experience. Giving birth is an experience. Eating fried chicken is an experience. Eating pizza is an experience. Driving the roller coaster. I mean, if you have taken the roller coaster before, it's an experience. Wearing the 3D and, you know, fighting those stupid fights is an experience. All those things is a, meeting with the King of Kings is an experience. You will know it. If you see God, you will tell him, hey, I saw him. I saw him. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was in bondage, but now you will shout it on the rooftop. You say, shut up, shut up. You are being too emotional. Leave me alone. I'm not emotional. I saw Jesus. Everyone who saw him said about this, spoke about it. From the rooftop, they said. He met with them. Their lives never remained the same. He meets with you, you talk about it everywhere. Everywhere you talk about it. It's an experience. I met with God on sports center. I have different experiences on my encounter with God. And this is why my encounters with God are different, is because God has to give you dosage of his encounters. Are you following my point? Are you following me this morning? Because encounters can expire. And then God has to give you another dose. Another dose. Another dose. And God has spoken to me. He said, my son, I want to meet with you. 3 days, I prayed in tongues. Prayed in tongues 5 hours. I was on campus. I'm deliberately talking about my campus experience because I know there are campus students here. I was on campus. First day, 5 hours. Marcos, Kepra, Mante, Mamra, Ekte, Lebo, Shkiba, Dadaba, Lebro, Suvretia. 5 hours. From 10 in the night to 3 a.m. Ekotolobro, Mambrokos, Telebeteliya. First day, nothing happened. Nothing. No voice. No vision. No light. Nothing. Kete, Mekta, Mambo. Second day, I'm off again. Aka, Mamba, Brato, Sote, Kebra, Taliba, Ekte, Mamba, Talabaha. All through the night, nothing. No voice, no vision. But after I was done, there was a Philip. I said, yes, Lord. He said, tomorrow, I would meet with you. So when the Lord said to me, tomorrow, I will meet with you. You know, the Lord had told me before that he wanted to meet with me. That story of Redeem Camp, I told you. And I did not take any notebook with me. So I said, I will not make that mistake again. The Lord said he wants to meet with me. I'm going to carry a notepad. The Lord meets with you with a notepad. And your notepad, it will be off. So I said, I'm coming. So I told my fiancé on campus, I said, the Lord said, was going to meet me tonight. I'm going to go with the notepad. So I went again. I know that spot on campus. I can take you there. Uche, if you hold my hands, I can go to you. I can close my eyes and I can almost walk to that place. But God met me. And as I was praying, I would look my back, trying to see where God wants to come from. The omnipresence, where will he come from? The omnipresence, the creator of the entire world, will he come from a direction? I mean, he entered through the wall. He was divine enough to enter through the wall to meet the disciples and human enough to eat bread with them. You didn't get it. Arubuojo is the God of the earth. I was expecting that he would come from my back and tap me. Suddenly, I just had boom. I fell on my face. And right before my eyes, the clouds in heaven opened. Open. I was not in a vision. I was open-eyed. And I saw the King of Kings. He was light indescribable. Sat on his throne and tilted down. So look at me. He didn't say a word, but I heard everything. You won't understand what I'm saying. His mouth did not move, and I was hearing him. He was talking to me without opening his mouth. Looked at me, and I was hearing. I was hearing. I reached out a note. My hands were shaking. I didn't know where my note was. I tried to stand up to look for it, and he said to me, you can't open. You are before me. No flesh can glow. So for like 30 minutes, I was laid down on the floor. Hearing and hearing. When I was done, I walked, I went to my wife, I said, ha, I met with God today. On that ground, I felt his fire. Every fire that I'm burning today came from that experience. I can take you there. You see, every believer ought to be able to take everyone to the place where he had an encounter with God. He must be able to know where it happened and when it happened. If you have no place, you need an encounter. If you have no place that you can go to say, Pastor, follow me. Let me show you where I met with God. Everybody in the Bible had one. Abraham had one. Moses had one. Paul had one. Peter had one. All of them had a place where God met with them. But I have no place. I have no story. I have no testimony. A Christian who have no glory. Every believer can encounter. Bad mind. I tell you over and over that I met. So what do I do? Have an encounter with God. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to close with this. Almost up. Luke 19, verse 1. Now, I have not shared my experience to you, the pastor. Are you following my point? I've had encounters as a pastor. I was alone with God about 2 years ago. And I was praying in the room. And God walked into my room. I didn't see him. But I know. The chair I was sitting on was shaking. I fell off my chair as an adult. Fell off my chair. He knocked me to the wall. I was crying profusely like a baby. There was nobody there. I cried like a child. Your tears would be flowing like river. When last did you pray and tears were flowing through your eyes? You need an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God. Are you too tired of a dry, boring religious walk as a believer? No test, no stories of God's glory. You should be tired by now. That's why church is tiring. What's the essence of coming to church? Coming to church, and there's big experience. So Luke 19, verse 1. Who has it? Help me. King James. Jesus entered. Give her a mic. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Someone say, pass through. I can hear you loud. Say, pass through. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You see, because the encounters with God is not an eternal one. It's always a passing through. The plan of Jesus was never to stay, but to pass through. Every encounter you have with God is a passing through encounter. There's no encounter that you have that will last for the rest of your life. Every one that you have will be a moment that can change your life forever. So Jesus Christ entered into Jericho and was going to pass through it. Read on. No, before we go on, the same pass through was said in John chapter 4, verse 10. When the Bible said that Jesus Christ was going to go and had to pass through Samaria. Remember that story? You didn't remember that story? Samaritan woman, do you remember it? The Bible said he must pass through Samaria. And there was a woman there who took advantage of that encounter. People have to do something to make their encounters with God last forever. If I tell you the things that God has done with my life now, I can trace it. The encounters were momentary, they were temporary, sometimes in my private prayer place, but they dropped something in my spirit that has guarded my walk with you. If you are constantly struggling with sin, you need an encounter with you. If you see Jesus, you will not touch sin. You will not see anything. Just looking at you. When they looked at Peter, after Peter denied him, the Bible says Peter ran off, burst into tears. Just look at you. Just look at you. If you're about to watch porn, everything is set. The website is on. Guys, walks through your door. You will not watch porn again. Not just that night, ever, ever again. Because every appetite will die. It comes with, the Bible says, the brightness of his coming. It shines in your room. Everything, every dark part of your heart is brought out. So the Bible says he passed through. And on that day, he was going to pass through Jericho. So what happened? Help me.
And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Which was chief among the public.
The Bible says Zacchaeus was a chief among the publicans. See, publicans were called sinners. Zacchaeus was a chief among them. It was like the custom officers you have today. If you read on, it says he was very
rich.
Very rich. How did Zacchaeus become rich? They contraband people's cargo. Yes, stop that. This is illegal. Say, happen. Say, go and see your guy in the office. Guy said, hey, I don't want to see anybody. Yeah, oh God, please. No. What do you have to offer? Go and think about it. This thing normally we have given you $3,000 fine. But if you can pay $500 to the government and pay $1,000 to us, you can go free. That's it. Contrabands people's television. Contrabands people's bridge. My father was a customs officer. Our house was full of all kinds of products. Plastic products. Peg, bucket, paint, plastic. What are we selling? My father is a customs officer, but we have baskets. We have all kinds of... I didn't understand until very much later that these things are contrabanded. As you are bringing all goods, you cut sheep. So this man called Zacchaeus was a chief. I'm not problem. Read on. What does it say?
And he sought to see Jesus.
The Bible says he sought to see Jesus. A chief among sinners seeks to see Jesus. I told you last 2 weeks that Jesus does not call the righteous. He calls the thirsty. He doesn't call the holy. The requirement is not holiness. The requirement is thirst. The requirement is not righteousness. The requirement is hunger. If you get hungry enough, you get righteous enough. Because the Bible says he sought to see Jesus. Continue.
Who he was.
We was.
And could not for the press.
And he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Crowd are blocking Jesus. I wish I can stay there to show you that crowd are blocking Jesus. People want to see Jesus. But today, even today, crowd blocking Jesus. People's crowdiness in their hearts is blocking them from seeing Jesus. Crowdiness in church is blocking them from seeing Jesus. So he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Continue.
Because he was little of stature.
The Bible says he was short. He was a man that was brief. He was down to earth. He was short. And there is nothing that can cut a man short more than sin. For all have sinned and fallen short. When you see a short person, say, hope you are not sinning. Falling short of the glory. That was Zacchaeus. He was chief among the publicans. A chief, but was short. And short people can be touching. So is it because of my height? And it is because of my, that was why Zacchaeus was very, he was short and tough. I need to let you know that don't take nonsense. That was Zacchaeus. Very wicked. Because he thinks that everyone wants to ride him because of his height. Yeah, like that. Praise the Lord. Any short, righteous person in the house? You are short but righteous. Righteous? I'm a righteous short. But sin falls and cuts a man short. Nothing cuts a man short and sin. Sin will make a man too short. Zacchaeus was short. The Bible says he could not see Jesus because he was short. So what did he do? Help me.
And he ran before.
He went before.
And climbed up.
He went before the crowd. Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd. He left the crowd behind. If you want to see Jesus, you must be willing to leave the crowd behind. If you are someone that always loves to be among people, with people, along people, among people, I'm a sanguine. I'm an extrovert. I cannot live without people. You cannot see Jesus. But Mark 4 verse 10, the Bible says that when the disciples were alone, he revealed the secrets of the... It is only people who have learned the habit of staying alone with Jesus that can have an encounter with him. So Zacchaeus, because he must of necessity have an encounter with Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to see him. He just wanted, are you following me? Are you following me? I'm going to let you know that your desire this morning, please follow me closely. Anyone that is talking to you now, can be sure that person is an agent. He's not a person. He doesn't want to be an agent, but the agents are using him. If you're going to see Jesus, you must be ready to shut down everything and go alone. The Bible says he ran ahead of the crowd. The crowd won't let him see you. Sometimes your crowdiness of your activities will let you see Jesus. You are so busy everywhere, everyhow. So it's just that I don't have time. But you have time to play games on your phone. You have time to chat, but there's no time. You have time to play, but there's no time. You have time to watch Arsenal, watch them lose a match, but there's no time. You have time. You have time. You have time, but there's no time. You always have time for what is important to you. You always have time. You always have time for what? Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd. Zacchaeus went up before them, away from everyone. Sometimes I need to cut away from everybody. Cut away from everybody. I encourage you to do this. Cut away from everybody. And God will meet you. The Lord said to him, said, son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, do you know that no reasonable couple gets intimate in public? I said, yes, Lord. He said, if you want me to really get intimate with you, then you must be willing to shut the door. Come to me alone. Learn the art being alone. Pastor, come in my way. I'm already asleep. What's the cure for sleeping? What's the cure for sleeping? Cure for sleeping. Walking. Walking. Some people's level is different. They can sleep walk. You know, people, there are people that God had blessed with. In the class in those days, we had people that can. And like this, and they will sleep. When they start snoring, you know, sleep. Do I feel asleep when I'm praying? That's when I'm praying. I want to stop. I will pace my wife, pace up and down. Sleep better. Because if I land, God has, I'm blessed with sleep. If I ask my, if I lay on the bed, minutes after, if I lay on the bed like this. Just everywhere, no, don't talk to me. And I can be talking to you. That millisecond, twinkle of an eye, that you didn't say anything after. If you shoot gun, I won't hear. Because the sleep of a laborious man is sweet, whether he eats plenty or few. If I hit the bed, all those prayer, Father. So if you are suffering from insomnia, come, let me lay hands on you. And lay hands to sleep. Jesus Christ slept like that in the midst of a storm. He did not wake up. He had to jack him. Wake up! Yeah, what's up? What's up? That's my master Jesus. I'm just like that. Praise the Lord. So I walk. Zacchaeus ran off away from the crowd and ran off. And the Bible says he climbed a tree. Read on for me, Dumont. What did he say?
Climbed up into a sycamore tree.
Yes.
To see him.
So he climbed up a tree. That's a graphic illustration of desperation. Have you seen a chief climbing tree? Now, Zacchaeus is rich. The Bible said he is rich. And the Bible is the truth of God's word. The Bible says somebody is rich. Person is rich. Climbs a tree to see Jesus. He was so desperate. Desperation has a voice. When I see a desperate person, I told you, I've seen desperate. And I've seen people that form as if they are desperate, but they are not really desperate. Hunger does not come in one day. You see, hunger is something that is seared sometimes for years. Before I got hungry, I started and I was searing my hunger. I was feeding my hunger. I don't know how to explain that. That hunger can be fed to get stronger. How did I feed my hunger? I was reading books of Smith Wigglesworth, reading books of T.L. Osborne. I was so hungry, I was getting hungrier. So Zacchaeus had got to a point, he just wanted to see. We don't even know why he wanted to see. But he wanted to see. But the good thing about seeing Jesus is that Jesus has more to offer to you than seeing him. You are not getting me this morning. Your feedback is not, I'm not feeling it. Jesus has more to offer to you this morning than just seeing him. See Jesus, you see more than Jesus. What did Jesus do? Give me.
For he was to pass that way.
Jesus was to pass that way. And you know, this story of Zacchaeus reminds me of my encounter with Pastor Yadibwe. I have a lot of stories, Abby. Are you enjoying the stories?
Yes, sir.
Did I stop saying stories? All right. Pastor Yadibwe was coming to the stadium in Abeokuta. And I said, Lord, I like the anointing, the life of Pastor Yadibwe. I want to experience it. So I was in my brother's house in Abeokuta. And we're driving off that morning.
I started praying from the house. Father, in the name of Jesus, if these my eyes should fall on your son, Pastor Ilya Adebuyi, let all the anointing in his life, double portion of the anointing, let it follow me. Don't say follow me. Some people want banana to follow them. I want the anointing. As I say, neighbor, what is falling on you? Yeah. The very important question. What is falling on you? So I went. I prayed from home till I got to the stadium. People were chit-chatting in the car. I prayed. I said, Lord, when I sin, the anointing follow me. So when we got to the stadium, I said, where we pass? I did waste car pass. I don't want to come and sit in front. They will not say, go back. Please, for digging. I said, I will not struggle the front with them, but I will stay in a corner. I will not give problem to the ushers. They will not put idea. You know, that's for just dignitaries. And Pastor Debo's boss will park here because I saw something like it was a parking port point. I sat there and people, I was praying. People were chatting and talking and talking. I was praying. Father Lord, as your son is coming, can you see how desperation has a voice? Desperation has to be persistent and continuous to be sustained. I was saying it. Lord, as your son is passing here, some people cannot stay on one thing for one day. They have already changed their mind. I'm telling you. I don't want BM. But tomorrow, I think Toyota is better. Benz. They can't stay on one thing. It's an habit. I don't want to go there. Something I want to say about. So, as his boss started coming, I said, Father, the hour is now. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. One usher just said, no, Pastor. Adeboye's boss cannot stay here. He has to go and park in the front. I said, that must be the devil. In the name thou usher, I rebuke you now. And I'm telling you, like magic. One just said, no. This was where he was designated to pass. He must park here. People already standing up, wanted to see him. My face was intense. I said, it's about to come. I can't miss this moment. I'm like Elisha. I can't miss this moment. Open the door for him. I think it's PA. That's his boy, son, Licky. Then he came out. You know his normal way. I read his lips. He said, thank you, Jesus. I read his lips. Mama, people shouted, hey! I shouted. I said, Lord, I've seen him, Lord. I saw him in the name of Jesus. Let every fire in his heart, let every power in his life, let every anointing, as I was saying it, I was falling under the anointing. I said, I'm telling you, I was falling under the anointing. I said, Lord, let it come on me. And I had the Lord, yes. Let every cross, no, I was the one that said it. I said, Lord, let every cross that he's carrying, let it come on me. I said, my eye now clear. I said, Lord, I didn't mean it. Taban suku amarino. I know I'm under the anointing, but my eyes is clear. I didn't mean that. And God said, ask him how he got the anointing. You think he just stood there and stretched his hand to someone and collect the anointing? Is that how he got the anointing? He said, for the anointing comes at the price of a cross. Ready to bear the anointing. Must bear the cross. That day, my life changed. Is anointing come on me? No. But I understood that there was a price to pay. So I'm like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was speaking that day. He said, I will see Jesus pass through here. Give it to me. What does it say?
He came to the place.
When Jesus Christ came to that place,
he looked up.
Jesus Christ looked up.
And saw him.
Wait. You know that Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Not because anytime that Jesus Christ is walking up and down, he's always doing like this. Is that how Jesus Christ used to walk? But Jesus can sense an hungry heart from a distance. If you are sitting at the back in the gallery and you are hungry, Jesus will pass a multitude to get at you. Jesus will sense an hungry heart in a celestial church. Will pass Pentecostal Pentiraska to get to celestial church.
If Jesus Christ is an ugly heart in a Methodist church, he will pass. If Jesus Christ is an ugly heart in Equa, Jesus cannot turn back an ugly heart. He said, yes, he looked up. What did he say? Want to go.
And said unto him, Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. So Jesus knew his name. Zacchaeus. That was the first thing. That's an issue. Zacchaeus, man blue. He knows me. He knows my name. I was a neighbor. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. Zacchaeus, they've never met before. He never saw Jesus before. He's a short man. So the way he couldn't see Jesus, Jesus could see him. Because Jesus Christ was not short. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But trust me, that place is loaded. Jesus can see you in the pit. Jesus can see you in the ditch. He sees you where you are. Jesus knows where you are. He knew that Moses was in the wilderness in the Mount of Horeb. He found him there. No matter where you are, Jesus has not forgotten you where you are. It may look dry. It may look lonely. It may look abandoned. But can I announce to you, child of God, that God knows your name and he knows right where to find you. So they say, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. He knows my name. He knows me. I thought I was struggling to see him. I didn't even know. What does it mean?
And come down.
Come down.
For today.
For today.
I must abide at that
house. I must stay in your house. Not closed. All I wanted was to see Jesus. But tonight, Jesus is sleeping in my house. It's the desire that you know. You don't know the end of this desire. Your desperation might have started with just, let me just see. But there's much more available in God that your desire can even create. All he wanted was to see Jesus, maybe to tell his friends, I saw him. He has brown eyes. I saw him. He has brown hair. But Jesus had more in stock than just seeing Zacchaeus. Tonight, he was going to stay in the house of Zacchaeus. Guess what? All that crowd that didn't allow Zacchaeus to see Jesus, Jesus was going to dismiss all of them and follow Zacchaeus to his house. But Zacchaeus has not even swept his house. Just because I'm coming like that. But God, what if I'm not clean yet? I'm coming like that. What if my bedroom is messed up? I'm coming like that. What if I've not soiled out myself yet? Jesus says, I'm coming like that. What if there's porn open in my laptop at my house? Jesus Christ says, I'm coming yet. What if there's a girl that I kept in my house? Jesus Christ says, I'm coming like that. What if there are things in my life I don't want you to see? Jesus Christ says, I know it all already. And I'm coming like that. I saw an hungry heart. And I'm coming after it. But if you read verse 1, what did verse 1 say? Jesus was passing through. He had no plan to stay in anyone's house. But an hungry man would change Jesus' plan. An hungry man will change Jesus' plan. He could be passing through your house this morning. But if he sends an hungry heart, he'll stop by. Stay. In the same thing, John chapter 4, he was just passing through Samaria. But the Bible says he stayed there 2 more days because there were hungry people in that city. Does God find an hungry heart in your heart this morning? You want to have an encounter with God? Are you bored of religion? You want to say like Pastor Philip, I saw the Lord. I saw him too. I felt him. He touched me. My eyes were full of tears when I saw him. I saw my maker. He walked through my room. Sensed his presence. Pastor Philip, what you said is true. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He came into my room. He spoke to me. Jesus is real. I opened the scriptures. And right now, I feel so strength, so much power. God's word. Because Jesus has revealed himself to me. There's much more than coming to church to see Jesus. Jesus wants to go home to stay in your house. I know you came up, you left Kubwa, you left Lube, you left all those places, Dawaki, whatever you left. Some of you even came from as far as Gwagalada. You came to see Jesus. But can I announce to you,
much more than coming to see Jesus. Jesus wants to go home with you. Jesus is ready to kiss everyone, stop everyone. He's ready to abandon everyone. This crowd, I found my new host. I mean, there are people that say, no, can't go to the day. Say, yeah, hey, how can Jesus Christ go to the house of the Father? He's not even clean. So Christ says, you don't tell me what to do. Go into the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus began to confess, okay, from today, I'm going to do this. From today, if I collect anybody's money, I'll return the money. Did you guys ask him anything? Eh? Did you read that in the Bible? He started confessing. He said, if I've collected anybody's money, did you guys ask him anything? Did he say, oh, what have you stolen? So Jesus Christ does not come to you with condemnation. It is you by yourself. You see, when you see him, you will not commit sin. You can't have an encounter with God and live perpetually in sin. If you are living perpetually in sin, then you have not had an encounter. So your struggle with sin ends on the ground of an encounter. I've met him. I've seen him. And when I saw him, I was not a pastor. When he spoke to me, I was not a pastor. When he came at me, I was not a pastor. I became a pastor 2 years ago. And I've done more for him, much more for him, as an ordinary believer than I've done for him as a pastor. Because I've been more time, I've spent more time as a believer than I've spent as a pastor believer. I'm not an unbeliever. Are you following my point? If I meet with him, my life will change. All this I've met with Jesus, and I'm living in sin. I've met with Jesus. You see, that's why Jesus Christ works with sinners. Because it's by working with sinners that he's able to change them. Some people are smoking bowl with people that smoke. We say, Jesus Christ said we should work with sinners. You are working with sinners. And you are sinified. You are sinnerized. You are brought in. Well, Jesus Christ said, no. There is no sinner that came at Jesus that didn't change. When sinners come at you, their life should never remain. I've seen sinners come at me. Lives never remain the same. I told you a story about a guy who was smoking. Never forget. I entered into his car. Oh, what joy. What joy. What joy I felt that day. I was so happy. I entered his car. He had cigarettes in his hands. I entered his car. He started shivering. He started shivering. He was driving. Was shivering. He was driving. Was shivering. I started to shout, hey, I don't talk. I don't go smoke him again, no. I don't go smoke. I don't want to smoke him again, no. I don't. I said, what happened? He said, no. I just entered my car. I don't know what happened. I know what happened. I said, park. See, after me, say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I cannot save myself. Come into my life. Save me. And that day, right there, I led that guy to Christ. Because I entered into his car and a presence entered with him. That's how to work with sinners. Look, I speak to Zacchaeus. Live in my meeting. Rise on you. This morning, the sermon is over, but the fire can burn in your heart forever. The sermon is over. The sermon is over, but the fire in this sermon that has been started in your heart can burn. Somebody can leave this room this morning with an unusual hunger for more. More than just religion. More than just a culture. More of God's power. More of God's power. Lift your hands and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost this morning. Is there any hungry person in church this morning? Anyone that want to say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. If there's anything more than religion, I want it. Lord, set my heart on fire for you. Is anybody praying? Is anybody praying this morning? Yeah. Set my heart on fire. Whoosh! Rebako soteleba. Is anybody praying? Lord, set my heart on fire.
Set my heart on fire.
Pray. Eba mambo shate. Eka mambrako sute ya. Set my heart on fire. Fresh fire. Lika mambo sute. Reka shaga bababataya. Ika mamba ko supre katalagadeska. Ika mamba shia bababataya. Set my heart on fire. I
need to see you hungry this morning. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, set me, set my heart on fire. Mamba, mambo tose, rika baba bashike telegedeska, reka mamba mamba, rabako shute lebataya, ikato shike de bahata, mako shute ya, set my heart. I want to meet with you. 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 Ka mamba mambo tose, reka bato shikata. Ika mamba tata sataya, reka baba 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 shaya, ika baba toso telega telega taya, reka baba 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 ta, reba bashika baba baba ya. Lord, set me on fire. Jesus cannot turn down an hungry heart. When he finds an hungry heart, when he finds an hungry heart, he cannot turn back an hungry heart. Couldn't turn his back on Zacchaeus. Couldn't turn his back on the Samaritan woman. Couldn't turn his back on an hungry man. On an hungry man. On an hungry man. On an hungry man. I want to pray for a set of people this morning. Listen to me very carefully. If you are in this room this morning and your fire used to burn hot for God before, like Moses, you're in pursuit of passion. You're in pursuit of purpose. You knew what God wanted for you and you're going for it. Your prayer life was on fire. Your word life was on fire. But right now, nothing. Nothing. You look back and all you have are memories of your walk with God. And right now, even though you come to church, there is no fire burning in your heart. You love church because you've always loved church. But if I ask you deep in your heart, what about you and Jesus? Do you still have a walk with Jesus? In your heart is empty. Your heart is dry. Your heart has no river. I want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to catch my fire again. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to have my fire again. Let me see you wave your hands to me. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you're like that, wave your hands. Say, Pastor. Pastor, it's me. It's me. It's me, Pastor. It's me. I used to burn for God before. I had a walk with Him. But I lost it. I lost my cutting edge. I lost my prayer life. I met someone. And someone introduced me to something. And since then, that eagerness and the urge to walk with God, to dwell with Him, has left me. But Pastor, if you pray with me this morning, I will get my fire back. I will go back home and that my mantle, my prophetic mantle that's been lost, is getting restored right now, right now. Wave your hands to me again if you're like that person. Rush to the front right now. Rush down. There's a fire on this altar. Rush down right now. Rush to the front. I want to pray for you. Whatever you are in this auditorium, you want to say, Pastor, I missed what I used to have. I missed what I used to hold. I miss everything that steered my heart. Lord, Lord, I came to have my fire back. I came to have my sharp cutting edge back. I came to have my walk with you back. Iko sute mambroko, rebako shike mamboto, rika mambra teko soteka, ika bada babata labahaya.
pray. Lord, I want to have my fire, that which I can't have anymore. I said, Lord, I receive everything. Come closer. Touch this altar and pray. Say, Lord, I receive my fire back. I receive my prayer walk back. I receive my passion back. I receive my unction back. I receive my zeal back. I receive my sword back. I receive my mantle back. Lord, I've come before you this morning. Let your fire begin to burn. Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn, let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn in my heart. Repako sote kata. Imbram brande kashita babaha. Erabaka shite lebataya. Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn, let it burn. Let it burn, let it burn. Let my fire burn right again. Let my fire burn. Ikababa shite lebaya. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of just doing what I'm doing with no life in it. Lord! Unction back. I receive my anointing back in the name of Jesus. There's a fire on this altar right now, right now. If you're hungry enough, it will come on you. Everywhere, 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 everywhere. Lord, I receive my prophetic mantle back. Lord, I receive my gifts back. Lord, I receive my word life back. In the name of Jesus, that which the enemy stole, I receive it right now, right now, right now. Lift your two hands. Say, Lord, this morning I declare an hunger for you. Fire. I receive my hunger for you back. Oh yeah. Bako sote kebrataya. I receive my mantle back. Everything the devil stole from me. Oliver, Oliver, Oliver. Is anybody hungry this morning? I receive everything. Ike mambro sute rabako shikabaha. Kelebe delebre debahaya. Everything, everything, everything. Is somebody praying? I receive my prayer life back. My stolen gifts. My stolen gifts. My stolen gifts. Jiko sute ya. Oya 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 oya. Oya 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 oya.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SLChurchNG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.